Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christopher Fritchie and Susie and Steve, for waking us up beautifully this morning. Hello. This month, our topic is stewardship of our planet, and we began talking last week about love as a necessary mindset for being a really good steward of the planet. Well, a good steward of anything requires love. And then in the second week, we talked about examples of love in action from inspiring individuals around the world who are working to improve our relationship with our planet. And today we are talking about another important mindset, facing our fears and moving beyond them. So whether we're talking about stewardship of the planet or anything else for that matter, thriving in life, starting a new relationship or ending one, moving home, becoming involved in social justice, moving through our fears, it turns out, is part of the spiritual journey throughout life. Our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, wrote this about fear. Fear and faith are identical in that the energy used in the one is the same energy used in the other. There is one energy in the universe, and this energy is the energy of thought. Of course, by thought, he means thought fueled by the warmth and color of feeling and deep conviction and acceptance. He goes on to say that fear is a positive acceptance that you will experience what you dislike. Faith is a positive acceptance that you will experience what you do like. But they are identical. The only difference is the direction. That's from his book, Effective Prayer. Well, we are all of us part of our planet, and how we treat our planet physically matters, as does the direction of our consciousness, which direction our thoughts, fears, faith, emotions are going in, that matters too, particularly to those of us who call ourselves metaphysicians. In our recommended book of the month, you heard an extract read earlier on this morning. It's Spiritual Ecology, The Cry of the Earth. The editor, Llewellyn Vaughan Lee, writes, "The current environmental movement is driven by fear of doom and disaster. That cannot be the right direction for a truly sustainable future. Love and reverence for the earth will automatically result in sustainability, harmony, and coherence." Well, that's a big point of view. Caused me to think it's kind of challenging to keep our minds in a faithful direction today. I think partly because we are in a world of 24-hour news coverage, which can, if we let it, bombard us with fear and doom. It's not that we don't have serious issues to face in our world. We do. It's just today we're talking about the focus, the direction we're going in with our mentality. Is the direction faithful or fearful? It's worth considering. If my focus is exclusively on what is wrong, I might be using the creative energy of the universe for a very particular use. And there may be another way that I can use it. A faithful, loving, reverential, creative, hopeful, proactive, engaged way. We can't blame the news entirely. Some of us don't need the news to get worked up. Some of us, you know, our own self-talk stirs up fear inside without any help from anyone. And when fear is driving the bus, it's very difficult to have a solution-oriented discussion. I learned early on in my studies of science of mind at the Center for Spiritual Living to take fearful thoughts and reframe them. I remember early on the acronym for fear, instead of using this acronym, forget everything and run, I learned to take it and reframe it to face everything and rise. The real answers to life aren't really in reframing acronyms alone. You know, it's fun. It's a helpful place to start. It's like training wheels. I think the deeper work is more of a process that takes practice and mindfulness. And my experience has been that as one fear is faced and moved beyond, another one pops up. And so it goes. So very early on, I had to practice getting clear on what I had faith in. What do I trust? What do I trust as much or more than my fear voices? Or for that matter, what do I trust more than the fear voices around me? When I was a licensed prayer practitioner, and I used to see clients for spiritual coaching, clients would come with a whole list of their problems to discuss. That's normal. That's what we go to prayer practitioners for. And as I listened to them recite the condition they were talking about, I would try to find the opportunity to ask them, what do you have faith in? What do you trust? And sometimes it would take a moment to find that. You know, without denying anything that the person was going through, together what we would do was face the fear and simultaneously try to remember their trust. And when we did, that was what gave them the strength to see past the fear and move on into solution, thriving. Later on today in the service, we'll see a video from one of our prayer practitioners talking about the benefits of spiritual coaching and the kind of work you do in spiritual coaching. You probably know that after each service in the chapel, we have our 5-minute prayer sessions, and they're wonderful. They're beautiful. They're like pruning the leaves off of a bush. You know, you go to the chapel to get things cleaned up a bit. However, if fear is a tree, someone said, pruning leaves, the symptoms, won't be enough. We may have to go to the roots. Ask yourself, for example, what is the biggest thing right now that is keeping me from peace or from living my life well or from thriving? And what's it rooted in? And that conversation may take more than 5 minutes to discuss, to discover, to uproot, to face, to move past. Isaac Lidsky, I want to tell you about him. He lost his sight to a rare genetic disease. And here's what he said in a TED talk. He said, "Fear warps your reality because it replaces the unknown with the awful." Isn't that good? Fear warps your reality because it replaces the unknown with the awful. You know, it's called awfulizing. And in that regard, fear can sometimes be misleading in the predicted future it offers us. And if we place our trust in the awful above all else, well, you know how that goes, probably. Now, when Isaac lost his sight, his fear voice told him that it was a death sentence. It was the end of so many things for him. Blindness, his fear voice told him, meant that he would lead an unremarkable life all alone. And he believed it for a while. He believed it until he had the impulse to face everything and rise above it. And live. And if he hadn't gone beyond his fear voices, he wouldn't have come to the realization that we court here at the Center for Spiritual Living of what it means to create a personal reality. And he tells the story of his life. He says that he started to live his life with his eyes wide open while blind. That's what he calls it. Living life eyes wide open. And doing so, he became a successful businessman. He married. He's raising an amazing, beautiful family. He's an inspiring speaker and so much more. He says that living life with eyes wide open is a discipline of facing fears and moving beyond them. And it's a discipline that a person elects for themselves. They can learn it. And practice it. And here are the elements that he discovered for himself as necessary to move through fears. First, hold yourself accountable, he says, for every moment, every thought, every detail. Wow. Not in a blaming way, but by watching the direction in which you are using the one creative power. Where is this taking me? Next, see beyond your fears. To me, that means consider the best outcome sometimes, the highest good sometimes, not only the worst. Practice that too. It's called vision. Next is recognize your assumptions. In other words, check if what you're thinking is accurate. In a very famous prayer written by our founder, he uses these words, "Lord, let me not depend on my own counsel." Next, harness your internal strengths and silence your internal critic. Well, that's very strong language. In Science of Mind, I learned it slightly differently. I learned to talk to my own inner voices, to have conversations with them, to thank them for their concerns. I learned that it was very important not to make an enemy of any part of myself. Next, correct your misconceptions about luck and success. I come from a very superstitious family. And when I found Science of Mind and I learned about spiritual mind treatment, that took all the luck out of it. I learned about how to train my mind and my whole being, my whole spiritual system in a direction I wanted to go in. Next, accept your strengths and weaknesses and understand the difference between them. aisle and seek support when you can't do it alone. Final one is open your heart to your bountiful blessings. Well, when I read that one, I remembered again when I was a professional prayer practitioner and I was doing spiritual coachings, and clients would come, and oftentimes they would have a long list of what was wrong with them. And it came out very easily. And again, I would try to find a way to ask them, and also, what is beautiful and wonderful about you? For some, that was a little more challenging, a struggle, because their minds were used to, their minds wanted to rest in the danger zone. They were using the one creative power exclusively in a specific direction, and the process of moving it is tender. I think Isaac would call that fictions that you perceive as reality. Have you ever believed something that isn't true? Just every day. At the beginning of his TED talk, Isaac talks about the story of young Dorothy. Young Dorothy is fascinated with her goldfish, and her father explains to her that fish swim forward by wagging their tail. So Dorothy concludes, she figures it out, that fish must swim backwards by wagging their head. In her mind, she accepts that as a fact, as true as any other. The point Isaac is making is that our lives can sometimes be filled up with fish swimming backwards. He means assumptions that we've made but haven't yet checked. Faulty logic that we're living with. Projections that are terrifying us. Loyalty to biases about what is right and what is wrong, who is right and who is wrong. And these attitudes of mind, they take their toll on us in the form of missed opportunities, unrealized potential, and they create insecurity and distrust, he says, when what we long for is connection, fulfillment, and when it comes to the issues facing our world and our planet, we need that connection, fulfillment, trust, courage, reverence, love, awe. We got to get our fish swimming forward. The American author and political activist Helen Keller, who was blind also, said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." If my vision for our planet is created by my fear voices alone, I may be swimming in the wrong direction with my mind. At least let me consider another use of what I've been gifted with. Going blind was Isaac's greatest fear at first. But, he says, it became a profound blessing because, as he says, it gave him vision. Vision of a life of meaning, of connection, of significance, of love. And to get there, he acknowledges he had to step up to, face, and step out of the fear circle. That's inspiring. You know, when one person does it, we're all lifted up. Our founder, again, Dr. Ernest Holmes, in a very famous address called The Sermon by the Sea, said, "Find me one person who no longer has any fear of the universe or of spirit or of humankind or of anything else, and you will have brought to me someone in whose presence we may sit, and fear shall vanish as clouds before the sunlight. If you find, like many of us, you still have fears about our planet, about our society, about anything, please don't go home that way today. Before you leave, step into the Grinton Chapel for a 5-minute spiritual mind treatment, and one of our professional prayer practitioners will help prune that tree for you by telling you the truth of your being in no uncertain terms. And then, if you want to go to the roots, consider making an appointment with one, a licensed prayer practitioner, to sit with them. Their business cards are on the wall next to the entrance of Stepping Stones Bookstore, or you can visit the directory of practitioners on our beautifully newly designed webpage. Also, if you feel like you need an intermediary step, there's a resource on our website, an online affirmative prayer, where you can search for affirmative prayers by topic: travel, health, fear. Like this one, written by prayer practitioner Diane Tapania. I invite you to breathe in and to exhale, letting your eyes close for these words, this spiritual mind treatment. I am a channel for positive change. Everything in existence is an outpicturing of the creative force of the Divine One. The love of Spirit flows through all of creation, animating all life, bringing harmony to all, and I am an aspect of this creative force. The love of Spirit is acting through me right now. Therefore, I tune myself to this reality that through me love creates and is forever revealing greater harmony. In this way, I am a channel for positive change in this world, because my actions are rooted in the unlimited creative force. I realize I am enough just as I am. So I cooperate with the emerging expression of a greater harmony. I realize positive change is a natural outcome of this inner alignment. So I give thanks for this realization, and I hold it gently, and I let it go. And invite you now to sit with me in a moment of silent contemplation. I invite you now to let the next breath you take be deeper than the one before. As you breathe in deeply, let it be followed by a sigh. We use the movement of breath in this way to make the transition to the next part of our spiritual practice, that of circulation. This last week, I was lucky to visit the last day of the Heritage Festival at the fairgrounds. And in it, there was this overwhelmingly earth-friendly, planet-positive community celebration. in one of the halls, there was a mound of gourd so high that one couldn't look at it without feeling love for earth and a sense of abundance. So I invite you to think about that now, what our earth gives to us freely when we move into our own giving practice, so that you can connect with the aspect of receiving as well. I invite the ushers to stand as you prepare your gift. Won't you take it in your hand, or if you gave electronically, place your open hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to the gift already given. And say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.